Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We talked about last time the curse of the law. And I never had so much fun talking about curses like I did last week. I was cursing like crazy, wasn't I? I mean, I was talking about all the... I was declaring all those curses that we've been redeemed from. Christ redeemed me from every one of those terrible, terrible curses that we see under the curse of the law. Every kind of oppressive, nasty thing. And when the curse is gone, all that's left is the blessing. And God wants you to live a blessed life. A long, healthy, strong, blessed life, just like they're living in heaven. He wants us to have days of heaven on the earth. Matter of fact, why don't we turn to that Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's look at it. And in verse 18, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What's he talking about? He's talking about his word, the word of God. He said you need to be thinking about it, meditating on it, talking it, sharing it with others all the time. When you get up, when you lie down, talk the word of God. Verse 20, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. Like the days of the heavens above the earth. Like the days of heaven above the earth. Now, if you just read it from the regular King James Version, it says, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Days of heaven upon the earth. God wants you to have days of heaven upon the earth. Now, some translations try to talk about, well, it's, you know, talking about days under heaven while on the earth. But you know, it's very simple. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, the Bible says. We just come over to the New Testament and listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to pray that the Father's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That sounds to me like he wants us to have days on earth like they're having in heaven, which would be days of heaven upon the earth. And that's exactly what he's saying here, even under the old covenant, all the way back here in the days of Moses. What was God's will? Was to teach us his word, teach us his ways, so that by doing them, not forgetting them, but clinging to his word, putting it first place in our life, we would have days of heaven upon the earth. How many people want to enjoy days of heaven on the earth? I just take the Bible for what the Bible's saying. I mean, I just take it literally. I just believe that's what God wants for us. And that might seem like a dream. That might seem almost, you know, impossible. But God said it's possible. If we'll do our part, if we'll put his word first place in our life and be determined to walk in it, speaking it as we go in life, he says we'll be experiencing more and more of a heavenly life. A heavenly life. That's what he's got for you and I. And a heavenly life is a blessed life. It's a blessed life. And what makes heaven heaven? The thing that makes heaven so wonderful, so amazing, what makes it a place where bad things can't happen. Bad things cannot prosper in heaven. Someone rose up in heaven a long time ago and tried to cause trouble. He didn't last very long. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Shaboom! He didn't last very long. He got kicked out of that place the moment he tried entering it, full of rebellion, full of evil. He was kicked right out. And that's exactly how it'll be on the earth. The devil will have no place in you, and he'll be immediately expelled from your life when you mix faith with the Word of God and the glory of God. Because the glory of God is what makes heaven heaven. That's what makes heaven heaven. What is the glory of God? It's the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. So for God to want us to experience days of heaven on the earth, that must mean he wants the earth filled with his glory. And of course we see over in Isaiah chapter 6, something that the angel saw standing there by the throne of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was a witness to this as he had a vision of heaven. Verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Hallelujah. His whole earth is full of the glory. The whole earth is full of the glory. They were seeing something. They were seeing something that we're not seeing much of today. And that's the glory of God in the earth. Man, they saw the whole earth filled with the glory. Whole earth filled with the glory. Verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Again, the smoke is one of the manifestations of the glory of God. It can come like a cloud and fill a place. And we see that happening here. And this angel very intensely with a loud voice declares that he sees the whole earth filled with the glory of God. Go over here to chapter 11 of Isaiah. And notice this. In verse 6. He says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And people know that's not normal. Wolves dwelling with lambs. Lambs don't last very long, usually, in the presence of a wolf. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Sounds sweet. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. A little child is going to lead a lion and a leopard. And a wolf, a little child's going to lead him. The cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The lion's going to become a vegetarian. Isn't that nice? The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Why? Because the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So remember now, he says, if you will keep my word, if you will learn the knowledge of me and put it in the forefront of your mind so that you're thinking about it all the time and speaking my word, he says, you'll have days of heaven upon the earth. Well, how many people know in heaven there aren't violent things going on? There aren't terrible, wicked, evil things happening. There's perfect peace. Nobody's in fear in heaven. Well, he talks of a day when that will be the same on the earth, just like days of heaven on the earth. And he said it's because, again, the knowledge of the Lord is filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now in Isaiah chapter 6, the angel looked and he said, the whole earth is full of the glory. Full of his glory, full of the glory of God. Well, that sounds like days of heaven on earth. Because that's what makes heaven heaven, is the glory of God. And then here it says that the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And again, we see days of heaven on the earth. Now, what specifically is this knowledge that he's talking about? And it's over in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So it's not just the knowledge of the Lord, it's the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, is filling the earth, covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's pretty covered. The seas are pretty covered with water, aren't they? Right. And that's how the earth is to be filled with the glory, and that happens by the earth being filled first with the knowledge of the Lord, or the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You got to have the knowledge of the glory of the Lord first before you can have the glory of the Lord, because it's by getting the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that we can have faith in the glory, or faith for the glory of God to be in our lives on this earth. So God's saying, get a hold of my word, understand the truth of my word, and understand this, that I am a God who manifests himself, because that is the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. It's all that he is and all that he has. He is an awesome, amazing God. He fills, how many people believe he fills heaven like the waters cover the sea? Well, if he fills heaven like that, can he fill the earth like that? That's his will, that you'd have days of heaven on earth. Pray that out. Get to see it in the Word of God. Know it, declare it, keep it in front of you. And he said, pray that my will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that my glory would fill the earth just like it's filling heaven. Now, how is it going to fill the earth? It's going to fill the earth one person at a time. So let God, his glory, come and fully saturate and fill your life. Let it start right now with you. Be determined that you are going to walk in this glory of God like never before, so that you personally are experiencing days of heaven upon the earth. When no evil will befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, where even the lion won't mess with you. Wolves won't mess with you. You won't fear them because of the glory of God. He said, you will tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Of course, we see examples of that in the Word of God. We see the Apostle Paul getting bit by a poisonous viper and shaking it off and suffering no harm. Sounds like heaven. Sounds like he could play by the viper's hole. Paul was playing by the viper's hole. He didn't know it. He just thought he was gathering some sticks to make a fire. He didn't know there was a viper there, but it didn't matter. Why? Because he was walking in the glory. Because he was walking in the glory. And so when the viper leaped out and clung to him and sunk its poisonous teeth into him, he shook it off in the fire and suffered no harm. Just like the Bible said would happen when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is present. When you're walking in the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, man, there is divine protection all around you. There is peace all around you because that glory in the Spirit is like a consuming fire. How many people know where there's smoke, there's fire? And so the glory we saw in Isaiah 6 manifests in the form of smoke or like a cloud of smoke. That's only because God is a consuming fire. And the Bible says over in Zechariah chapter 2 in verse 5, it says, "For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." You see, we've got to put faith in the word of God's glory to have that glory working for us in life. If you don't mix faith with the word of God, it won't profit you anything. Even though God wants to be a wall of fire all around you so that you are fully protected, totally safe from all harm, it will not happen if you don't have faith. And specifically faith that He is a wall of fire all around me. Can you believe that for yourself? You are to have the glory of the Lord upon your life. Why? You were created for the glory. You were created for the glory. It actually says that over in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 in verse 7. He says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Has God formed you? Are you sure you didn't evolve from some kind of microorganism that was crawling around somehow in space and ended up on the earth and spread out and became mankind? Huh? Sure you know where you came from? Say, I've been formed by God. Well, everyone that he's formed, everyone that he's created them for a purpose. He's created them for his glory. His glory. What's that? His manifested awesomeness. He's created you to be clothed with his glory, clothed with his very life. Of course, we see that over in 2 Corinthians. Hold your place in Isaiah. 2 Corinthians talks about as new creations in Christ Jesus. The biggest reason why we are new creations in Christ Jesus is so we can finally get to the place where we're walking in what we were created to be in the very beginning. And that's walking in the glory of God. Say, I've been created for the glory. See, now Adam and Eve, they were clothed with that glory. That glory was all around them and upon them and radiating out of them. I mean, they had the glory of God. They were created for that. But then when they sinned, they lost that glory. The light went out. And they were banished from the Garden of Eden. But that was not God's will. So God devised a plan all the way from the very beginning to get us back in that place where we're clothed with his glory and enjoying days of heaven on earth where we are saturated with the blessedness of the Almighty. That God Almighty himself is clothing us, saturating us. And he is, though we do not see because we walk by faith and not by sight, he is a wall of fire all around us. And that's why no weapon formed against you will prosper. See, we got to learn to laugh at the weapons of the enemy. Understand, we are shielded. We are shielded by fire. So you got to believe it. When you believe it, shields up. When you believe it, shields are up. And now nothing, no harm could come to you. Right? Wasn't that Satan's problem when it came to Job? Satan came in there and presented himself before the Lord, and he had some complaints. He says, sure that Job serves you, but you've hedged him in. You got a hedge all around him. What is that? That's that wall of fire. You're a wall of fire all around him so that everything that he has is protected and nothing can be touched. But you just remove that hedge and let me get in there. And we'll see what he's really made of. He'll curse you to your face. And because Job had some things in his life that were not right, he had given Satan legal right. That's really why Satan was there before the Lord. He was accusing Job to the Lord. You don't see it all in the first couple chapters. Chapter 4, you see a little bit more of it. And as you go through the book, finally at the end, God's rebuking Job. Sure, he was blameless in his generation, lived a holy, God-fearing life, but he wasn't perfect. He had missed it royally, and that's why God royally corrected him in the end. And Job repented. You know, you don't repent if you didn't do anything wrong. But Job had gotten over into pride and self-righteousness and some other things. He was definitely operating in fear in some areas. And that fear is a perversion of faith. It's believing in Satan. It's giving Satan legal right to meddle in your affairs. That's what fear does. So Satan came in there, and again, you don't see it all, the whole complaint right there in the first couple chapters, but that's what's happening. He's coming in as a prosecuting attorney, Satan. And he's accusing Job before God because Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. So he came in and he said, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that he's the accuser of the brethren, and he would accuse the brethren, God's people, day and night. He would always be taking our flaws to God, mankind's flaws to God, that he might have access into their life to steal, kill, and destroy. So he had built up a case against Job. The Lord knew it when Satan was approaching him. The Lord said, have you set your heart on my servant Job? And the answer is yes. He came in there with his accusations and was able to get that hedge out of the way. And once the hedge was going down, Satan began to attack him in every area of life. But friend, as long as the hedge was there, he could do nothing. And Job became the richest man in the East. Became the richest man. Powerful man of influence. Nothing could mess with him. There was no oppression in his life until the hedge of God was removed. What was the hedge? It was the glory of the Lord. It was the glory of the Lord. He said, I will be a wall of fire all around her. All around Israel, all around you. And here's the good news, now that we're on that subject of Job. The very good news is that Jesus came and kicked Satan, the accuser of the brethren, out of that prosecutor's chair and booted him right out of, you know, the chair that Adam gave to him to represent mankind. Jesus came and knocked him out of the chair, bless God. And now Jesus sat in the chair as our intercessor, as our attorney, in our defense. The accuser's been cast out, according to Revelation chapter 12. He's been cast out. Now, bless God, he can't accuse us day and night before the Father. We can only accuse each other before the Father. Because we're the ones that access that place now. In Christ Jesus. Christ is in that place and we're seated together with him in heavenly places. So we have to watch. We don't want to now take on Satan's job now that he's been kicked out and start accusing the brethren before the Lord. We've got to watch what we say about one another, because Satan knows he lost the seat, but he knows you got it. So if he can get his accusations in your mouth against the brethren, then through you he can get place in the brethren's life. So let's yield to our attorney. Let's yield to our advocate, and let's defend the saints. Let's believe the best of all people. Let's walk in the love of God. And if we do, we got a wall. We got a wall that can't be penetrated, that can't be broken through, that the devil can't get removed. Because now under the new covenant, which is a much better covenant than Job had, now under the new covenant, even if you miss it, you can repent. And you could come to God, receive forgiveness and cleansing, and immediately be redeemed from the curse of your sins, the consequences of your sin. You could come, repent, be cleansed, and now the devil has nothing on you. And you can stand there and declare, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is Christ who has risen and is seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever lives to make intercession for me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, no weapon formed against me will prosper. That shield is all around me, and it will never come down, because I believe in the glory of God. I believe in my redemptive rights and privileges as a child of God. I've been redeemed." Turn to somebody, tell them, say, "I've been redeemed." Hallelujah. What does that mean? You got a wall. Somebody say, "I'm walled in. There's a wall of fire around me." Devil starts poking around. Just look, say, you're gonna fry, man. You're gonna get burned. This is the most powerful electric fence you've ever messed with, devil. If you don't have any faith, the power's out. Devil will climb the fence. But if you just remember these words, if you remember the word of God and put your faith, activate your faith in the power that's around your life, you'll catch him right on the fence. Ah! And he'll just stand on that fence. Ah! And then you'll start seeing smoke. It's the smoke of the enemy. He's frying like an electric bug zapper. Hallelujah. This is what God is to us. Believe it. Walk and know that you are in Him. You're in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Therefore, you know no evil will befall you. And you know that all things are going to turn for your good. And you're going to enjoy days of heaven on the earth. Now, you do need to understand this, that even though you're experiencing days of heaven on earth, and no weapon formed against you will prosper, there's still weapons, and there's still a devil. Interesting how Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory, right? Totally in the glory of God, saturated with the glory of God before sin, saturated in the glory of God, and Satan got in there in the form of a serpent. Isn't that right? He still was able to come in and influence. He still was able to come in and tempt. So temptations will still come even though you're in the glory. Temptations can still come. Temptations to fear. Temptations to be sick. Because that's what symptoms are. Symptoms are just temptations to be sick, to be afflicted, to be in pain. Temptations will still come. You'll still feel the temptations of the enemy. Because temptations don't just come in thoughts. They come in feelings. They come through negative circumstances. They'll come through other people. Right? I mean, that serpent was in the glory. Here's Adam and Eve clothed with the glory. And yet Satan is influencing them. They're feeling that pride. They're not just listening to words. They're feeling the pride of Satan. They're feeling his rebellion. It's getting off on them. They're experiencing it. Right there, clothed with the glory of God. Right there, clothed. I mean, they're enjoying days of heaven right now on the earth. And yet there they are experiencing and feeling temptation, evil, evil feelings, having evil thoughts. And then Eve begins to yield first. She begins to give in. She begins to act upon it. Adam's in the middle of this. Here's Adam clothed with the glory of God, and his wife is yielding to the devil. And then finally, he yielded himself. And they both gave in, and then the glory was gone. And it was just darkness. Just a demonic presence, as Satan now became the God of this world. But it happened right in the middle of the glory of God. Happened right in the middle of the glory of God. But you see, no faith was used. No faith in that glory was used to drive that serpent out. Had they yielded to faith in God, if they had kept the knowledge of his word, the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord before them, Satan would immediately have been kicked out of that garden. How many people know that? There wouldn't have been any delay. Satan would have been, he would have shot out of there like lightning. But you see, they didn't mix their faith with the glory of God. Then we see Jesus. Jesus just gets baptized with the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan. He receives the Spirit of the living God without measure on his life. Almighty God is upon him in great power. So much so that in just a few days, he's going to come out in the power of the Spirit, and his fame is going to go everywhere. And demonic strongholds are going to be broken. Wherever he goes, people are going to get healed. People are going to get delivered. Amazing things are going to happen. But before that, right after receiving the Spirit without measure, he goes into the wilderness to pray, and there's the enemy. The enemy comes and tempts him. And he's being tempted with fear, with pride, with rebellion, you name it. He's being tempted at all points. Right there, fully loaded with the glory of God. So the thing we must realize is just because you're tuning in and hearing the devil, negative, evil, wicked, contrary thinking, experiencing, feeling, seeing things that are definitely not heavenly, that doesn't mean that you are not wrapped in the heavenly glory of God. Now, Jesus knew what to do with it. He said to every one of the devil's temptations, it is written. He kept the word in front of him. He kept the word in front of him. And every temptation that came against Jesus, Jesus would speak the word, release his faith in the knowledge of the Lord, in the knowledge of the glory. And finally, the Bible says, and Satan left. He couldn't handle it. He left his presence in a hurry. And he left him seeking another opportune time, because that was not a good day. That was definitely not a good time for Satan. That was a bad moment. Never happened to him before, where a man was able to resist him like that and fully overcome him. And through the course of Jesus' life, he walked in the glory. He walked in the glory. His whole life, he walked in the glory. There was a woman that knew what was on his life, and she said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She knew that. And so she comes and she presses through a crowd of people. All these people are touching him. And apparently nothing's really happening. Because people aren't mixing faith in what they're touching. They're touching a man who is completely saturated with the glory of God. And they're touching, and their hand would just touch, so they can go home and say, I touched him. He smiled at me. He shook my hand. He said hello to me. And they're happy with that. This woman needed more than a hello. She needed more than a happy handshake. She needed a healing. She had been suffering for many, many years with some kind of blood disease. And she got to Jesus and she pressed through, for she said, if I but just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And she pressed through the crowd and she touched in faith, and power flowed out of Jesus into her body. There was a transfer of that power, that life of God, and immediately, everybody say immediately, that demonic thing that was oppressing her body shot out of her like a lightning bolt. And she was healed, and she knew it. Woo, hallelujah. Is this exciting news? Yes, because this is what you're created for. This is what the church is created for. You've been created for the glory. You are created to be carriers of God, the life of God, the power of God. We have to get the knowledge of the glory of the Lord so that we can get our faith in it once and for all and stay in faith by keeping that knowledge before us and talking about it all the time. So that we're walking around completely hedged in, prospering, blessed. No evil thing can happen to us. The devil can't touch us. He can tempt. He can lie. He can deceive. But none of it prospers. We just grow smarter. We just grow wiser. We just get better and better and better. Days of heaven. Days of heaven. Days, the blessed life. The blessed life. No evil. No evil befalling you. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2 in verse 9, it says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. They didn't understand what was happening. But notice that when that angel showed up, the glory showed up. When the angel showed up, the shepherds were surrounded by glory. God wants you to be like that angel. The word angel actually in the Greek means messenger. God wants you to be his messengers. And so that wherever you go, the glory goes. And the glory shines all around people. So that you're not just a blessing to yourself, you're a blessing wherever you go. People feel it. Atmospheres change when you walk in the room. Not everybody will admit to it. Not everybody will say anything about it. But we believe it. Now, if you don't believe it, you just walk around thinking you're just like everybody else and there's really nothing to you, then your switch is off. Your faith switch is down, and the shield is down. And you're limited in what you can do and how you can influence people, but it's time for us to have the switch up. Wherever we go, shields up. Come on. Whenever you put your seatbelt on, this would be a good thing to do. Let's just do this. Whenever you put the seatbelt on, say, shields up. Right? You walk out the door. Shields up. Shields up. Wherever I go, the shield is up. If you ever feel you're driving down the road, shields up. And you just develop this consciousness of this wall of fire that's all around you, this glory that is all around you. How many people know the new creations that are in Christ Jesus? That's you and I, the born-again child of God. We are sons of the living God, sons and daughters of the living God. Angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1, are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. That's us. the heirs of salvation, the sons and daughters of God. He says in Hebrews 1, to which of the angels has he ever said, you are my son? Today I've begotten you. None. He's never said that to an angel. Angels are not sons of God, but you are. You are. You're in a higher place than the angels. I said, you're in a higher place than the angels. Now, if an angel comes in and the glory shines all around, how much more when a son? Huh? When a son, when a child, when a daughter, when a child of God comes walking in. Because you are a son, not a mere servant. Under the old covenant, they were servants, the children of Israel. Through the covenant, they had become servants because they were able to serve God to a certain capacity. And they had a covenant with God. But oh, under the new covenant, we have a much better covenant. And we're not just servants, we're sons. So if an angel has it, how much more? How much more? Oh, glory be to God. Somebody say, the glory of the Lord shines all around me. Let's go to, oh, we were here in 2 Corinthians, weren't we? Well, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians. Watch this. Well, that flows perfectly. We're talking about the Old Covenant, New Testament, right? Now notice this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says in verse 3, you are manifestly an epistle of Christ. You're a manifestation of the word of Christ, the word of God. An epistle is these letters we're reading right now. You're a manifestation of it. You're a manifestation of this word, this epistle of Christ. You're a manifestation of it. You manifest it. You manifest it in your life. It's not written with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. It's on your flesh. Somebody say, it's on my flesh. Christ is on my flesh. The epistle of Christ. It's a part of me. It's all over me. It's who I am. It's on flesh. That is of the heart, and we have such trust through Christ towards God. Verse, let's jump down here to verse. Now let's just go. Verse 6. Verse 5. Now we are sufficient of ourselves not to think of anything of being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory on his countenance, which glory was passing away. Remember Moses, he'd go up into the presence of Almighty God, and him and God would have this conversation together, he'd fellowship the Lord, and then he'd come out, and the glory of God got lodged in his flesh. And begin to radiate out of him. You know, it's like these little glow sticks or something, you know. You get these little balls or something that glow, and then you sit them in the light for a little while. Keep it in the light for a little while. And next thing you know, it starts, and then you turn the light out and it's glowing. That's what happened to Moses. He was in the light for a little while. He was in the light of the glory of God. And when he came out glowing. I mean, did this really happen? He was glowing so much, it scared the children of Israel. They looked at him. It scared them. They didn't know what to do with him. And this guy's glowing. Some of you have glowed before. You didn't even know you were glowing. Oh, yeah. I remember years back, I learned this. There was a gentleman, man of God, by the name of David Hoyt. Our church actually supports his ministry in Texas every month. And but I met him. He's a prophet of God, and he was traveling. And anyway, the Lord sent him to me. And he showed up at my house one day. And when I opened the door, I had been praying and fellowshipping with the Lord. And then I opened the door, and he just looked at me. And he said, "You've been praying, Brother Stephen." That's how he talked. "You've been praying, Brother Stephen." I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" He said, "I could see it on your face." I was glowing and I didn't know it. But he discerned it. And from that moment forward, I was determined to discern it. And I see it all the time. I see people glow. I can see when some people was really getting lit up. Sometimes you have a little glow about you. Especially the Spirit of God begins to move on somebody, they start to get revelation or something. Oh, they just light up. They just light up. Now, a lot of people, they're not trained, they're not looking for it, but they just light up. Their faces just begin to glow. Hallelujah. So it still happens today. But now it needs to get to the place where we're glowing so much, even a bunch of carnal folks can look and go. You don't have to have a trained eye for it. Even carnal folks can see it, just like these carnal folks and the children of Israel. I mean, there weren't too many more people more carnal than him. Hallelujah. Spirit of God moving on us. Our face glowing with the glory of God. You remember Stephen, don't you? The first Christian martyr recorded in the Word of God. He was preaching the Word of God. He was fervent about it, ready to lay down his life for the gospel. He's just preaching away, and his persecutors were looking at him, and they beheld his face like the face of an angel. It was like a face. They couldn't stand it anymore. They couldn't stand his words. They couldn't stand looking at him because they were full of the devil. That's why they attacked him and stoned him. You say, well, why were they able to stone him then? Because Stephen let them. One of Stephen's last words was he looked up to heaven and said, "I see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father." That's a good way to go. Hallelujah. I said, that's a good way to go. He was all conscious about the glory of God. I see the glory. I see the glory of God. He was more conscious of the glory than these ugly people and the stones they were throwing at him. But he was full of the glory. Full of the glory. Would do signs and wonders. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet. He was a layman in the church. A helper. He served tables. But he did great wonders. Miracles. Great power was manifested in his life. And his wisdom no wicked person could argue with. And they said they beheld his face like the face of an angel. Now that's God saying that. That isn't religion saying that. So you got to get your religious mind cleared up. Because when you read that, a lot of times people picture a nice cute baby face. He had the face of an angel. Pudgy, rosy cheeks. Right? Pudgy, rosy cheeks. He was a sweetie. That's how we would... A lot of people, that's how they would interpret that. He was a sweetie. God said he had the face of an angel. You can go to different places if you want to see what the face of an angel looks like. One of them over in Daniel, the angel had the face of lightning. His countenance was like lightning. Huh? His countenance was like lightning. You know how bright lightning is? I mean, beautiful white light. His face, how'd you like a face? That was Stephen's face. His face, we could say, was like lightning. And I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. See, you come in contact with that glory. But you see, Stephen, he laid his life down. That was God's will for him at that moment. He didn't have any unction on the inside of him to get himself out of that situation. He did not say, "Lord, deliver me out of their hands." He said, "Lord, receive my spirit and don't lay this charge against them." He's ready to go. He's ready to lay his life down in the battle. There's a spiritual battle taking place. And he said, "Well, why would God have him do that? Why would he do that?" Because there was a guy there by the name of Saul who was being influenced by the whole thing. And the way Stephen died, glorifying God with a face like lightning and asking for forgiveness for his accusers, that caused Saul to get converted eventually down the road. It caused his heart to be able to be convicted by God, so that when God showed up with his glory and knocked Paul or Saul to the ground and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" it's hard for you to kick against the conviction. See? He was in a place to receive that revelation from the Lord Jesus, because his heart was already prepared. It had been being convicted, and he was kicking against it. But he had nothing to kick against until Stephen. Stephen came and put that conviction in him, and it set him up to get saved, become the beloved Paul the Apostle. Thank God for Paul the Apostle. So Stephen in his death did more through the conversion, influencing the conversion of Saul to Paul, than he could ever have done by staying alive. We've got to be led by God. But he went out in a blaze of glory, Stephen. You don't have to feel sorry for him. Praise God. He's still reaping all the benefits of it, the rewards of what was accomplished through him. And he went out in a blaze of glory. And that's how it's supposed to be. We're not going to go out of here as victims. Oh, God. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill me, Jesus. You don't have to worry about it. First of all, if you don't want to die, just say, "Not today." The Apostle Paul eventually laid down his life and became a martyr for the cause of Christ. But he also said that at another time he was delivered from the mouth of the lion. Back in those days, they were throwing Christians to lions. They thought that was fun to watch. Apparently, he was thrown in there, but the lion must have lied down with the lamb. And the viper couldn't kill him. And the lion couldn't kill him. And nobody could kill him until he was raised. He was even stoned to death, but got back up, was raised up again. The stones couldn't kill him until he was ready to go. He's just a man like you and I. Come on. That had the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And he's writing about it right here, talking about Moses. That the glory on his countenance, that glory was passing away. Verse 8, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? He's saying if there was that kind of glory under the old covenant, when these commandments were given on stone so that Moses' face was glowing with the glory, that's pretty glorious. He's saying how much more will the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious, or have even more glory? We're part of a better covenant, friend. Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. You thought that was great? That's nothing compared to you when you are walking in faith concerning your New Testament covenant and the glory of God that belongs to you. Verse 10, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. In other words, the glory Moses had was like nothing, zero, compared to what we have. What we have so overshadows the glory of the Old Testament. Verse 11, for if what is passing away was glorious, or glory, what remains is much more glorious, or much more glory. So that was passing away. That glory was fading out off of him. It didn't stay on him. It faded away. Even so, that whole old covenant was fading out. It wasn't permanent. He said that glory was passing away, but now the glory that remains is more glory. Everybody say more glory. More glory for me. More glory for me. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, such high expectations, we use great boldness of speech. I feel kind of bold myself tonight. I feel kind of bold talking about the glory. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were hardened, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses read, a veil lies on their heart Talking about the children of Israel. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, repents and turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Have you turned to the Lord? Keep doing it. Keep turning. And he says, now the verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is this mirror that it's talking about? Talking about the Word of God. James tells us that the mirror is the Word of God. And as we're looking into the mirror of the Word of God, we're getting the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And as we're getting the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, our faith in the glory of the Lord is rising up. And what's happening? We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we're getting hold of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, looking into the mirror of the Word, don't you love that? He calls the Word a mirror. I don't know about you, but whenever I look in a mirror, I don't see you. I see me. Your Word is your mirror. And the Word is the Word of Christ, an epistle of Christ. It is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And that's the mirror. You see the glory, you see yourself. What you see here is you. You see Jesus, you see you. You see Jesus do it, you see you do it. It's you mirror. You looking at mirror, you see Jesus do it, it's you doing it. You are body of Christ. You are body of Christ. So as we get a hold of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, we're walking more in the glory of the Lord, and it increases from glory to glory to glory to glory to blessing to blessing to blessing to blessing to protection to peace to power. Right? Totally shielded. And we're walking around believing this thing, knowing this is what we were created for. This is what belongs to us. We're members of the body of the Anointed One Himself. Huh? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Must I remind you of the Old Testament and what happened in the Old Testament temple? How the glory of the Lord came in there and filled that place? I might remind you about it next week. We might pick up right there as we continue this series on the glory of the Lord. Created for the glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I've been created for the glory. Friend, you got to talk it, because remember, we go back to that first scripture. Don't let it depart from your thinking. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Rise up talking about it. Go to sleep talking about it. Acknowledge the glory of the Lord. Friend, I am expecting the manifestation of the Almighty to come in such power that people cannot stand up under it. People cannot stand up under it, and the heathen come running to be saved, because the glory isn't just for you. It will affect the harvest field that God has called us to reach. It'll cause that harvest field of lost souls to come running. And we got all kinds of things to get into, but they'll come running. They're going to come to the brightness of our rising. They're going to come running to the house of His glory, because He's magnetic. He's amazing. And all kinds of things are going to happen, because sicknesses are going to go. Devils are going to go. Demons are going to go out of here like lightning bolts. People are going to come in and there goes another lightning bolt. Another demon got off of that person. I'm ready for it. Aren't you ready for it? We went down a few times to that revival down in Pensacola, Florida, led by the Holy Spirit, had some great experiences. But it was interesting because, you know, at the end of the night, there were some people, they were like in trances. There were people that had demons that nobody knew they had demons. Remember, there was this one youth. He came with his youth group. The whole youth group came to the revival, and he was foaming at the mouth. He was like a zombie. I mean, all these. And the usher, it was at the end of the night, and I was talking to the usher. He said, yeah, this is happening every night, because the revival was going on every night. He said, yeah, it's happening every night. People are manifesting demons. People are manifesting demons. See, demons are comfortable inside people. They're hiding. They live in their influence. They speak up once in a while. They talk through people. A lot of people don't know it's a demon. They don't know they're watching demons on TV. They don't know that reporter's a demon-possessed individual. They don't know it's demons talking to them, because people can hide it very well. But when you get in the presence of the glory, the demon in people will show up. That's why Jesus would walk in. They go, ah! Why do we have to do with you, Jesus? I know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come to torment me before the time? It's supposed to be happening like that today. Demons see you coming. They immediately get scared that you've come to torment them. Too much of the church is running around going, the devil's tormenting me. Devil's tormenting me. You need some knowledge. You see, you need some knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Turn that thing around. Turn your switch of faith on and drive that demon out of there. As for me and my house, it's going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.